Welcome, everyone, to an exciting episode of Brighteon Conversations. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, the YouTube alternative for free speech. Today, we have a new guest for you, I think one of the most important voices of our time. A former CIA employee, analyst, I think he was with the CIA for 17 years or so, I'll ask him. He joins us today to talk about the shadow government, the deep state, the war against Trump, and what it means to actually fight for freedom with Christian principles so that we might have a future here as Americans in a constitutional republic. His name is Kevin Shipp. His website is kevinshipp.com. That's spelled with two P's. And he's, again, former CIA, now a whistleblower. And you got to check out his website if you want to see the truth about what's going on. Kevin, thank you so much for joining me today. It's an honor to have you on.
Hey, Mike. It's good to be with you.
Well, it's great to be with you, too. And let me give a shout out to Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com, who has had you on as a guest. This is how I became aware of your work. And since then, I've also noticed that many fans of yours apparently are uploading your conferences and lectures to Brighteon.com. So I started watching those, and then I became a Kevin Shipp fan, and that's why I'm talking with you today.
Well, great, Mike. And by the grace of God, my videos and speeches and programs have not been banned yet. So far, so good.
Well, we will never ban them on Brighteon. We'll be the last refuge archive for you. But since this is the first time we've spoken with you, and not everybody's familiar with your history, give us a quick rundown of your time with the CIA, the whistleblowing, how they tried to kill your family, and all these things that happened. Just if kind of the short version, so we can get into other questions.
Sure, Mike. Well, I was a CIA officer. An officer is different from an agent in that an officer is kind of the counterpart to the military when you're up in the upper officer ranks. A CIA agent is somebody that we recruited or an asset. So CIA officer, you go through a grueling process and have to take the equivalent of the graduate records exam, psychological testing, a bunch of other crazy things. So I was a CIA officer. I was a protective agent on the staff of CIA Director William Casey during Iran-Contra. And they allowed me to release this. My post was actually in his house. So I lived with our well-equipped command post there. So I was an agent on his staff, and then I was a counterintelligence agent searching for moles inside the CIA. We knew one was there. We eventually found that mole, and despite the FBI's pontificating, which they're good at doing, that they had never had a mole, that mole turned out to be Robert Hansen, the senior agent in the FBI's Washington counterintelligence field office that compromised everything we were doing to the Russians.
Wow.
It was so bad, they kept it from the American people. Let's see. And then I went out into the field in the Directorate of Operations collecting human intelligence for assets out there, especially against the terrorist target. And then one of my last assignments, I was a polygraph examiner and an expert. I have a master's level degree in forensic psychophysiology, and that's the detection of deception. And so I did counterintelligence investigations and polygraph interviews of people trying to get into the CIA and people trying to penetrate the CIA. So, the CIA was my career. During my career, I saw things that were unconstitutional and sleazy at the same time. I also saw a lot of very good employees there. We did operations. I was on a counterterrorism assault team, and we were sent over to stop and neutralize any sort of terrorist attack on our people in a defensive. So we were saving lives on our team. So there's a lot of good things that we did. There's a lot of good people in there. I'd say they say 99% of the employees are good, like Sean Hannity does when he wears a CIA pin. I'd say it's more like 80%. There's 20% that are lower than a snake, that are violating the Constitution, they're engaging in criminal activity, as we have seen, and getting away with it. I'm always asked, well, what was your defining moment? My defining moment, real quickly, was I was doing an international investigation on computer systems and controls and internets and connections and secure networks across the world for CIA stuff. And I stumbled across a vulnerability where it appeared that in U.S. embassies, in the visa section, any foreign intelligence agent, terrorist, what have you, in the unclassified open visa section could go into the computer and hack into and identify our covert officers in all of those countries. There's 80 embassies. And identify our chief of stations. And what that meant was it would identify everybody that was connected to that chief of stations, which meant our assets and the agents we'd recruited, and put a huge amount of lives at risk. Now, you would think the CIA would want to correct that. And this is important. So I'll go into just a kind of a summary bit of detail. So I put together a detailed report. The more I dug, the more I found it looked like it was the case. So I put a detailed report in and I sent it over and the tracked internal channels inside the CIA system to the office responsible for protecting cover. And put a note on there, hey, you may want to take a look at this. I'll call you in a week and see what you think. You know, we need to do some more investigation to find out, but this does not look good. Week went by, I didn't hear a peep. So I contacted that office and I said, hey, did you get the investigation report that I sent you? And the response was, what report? And I said, you know, the report that I sent to you through internal mail, which is tracked. We never got a report, the executive aide said. So I hung up the phone and I was like, okay, maybe this is just stupidity, because stupidity does happen in the CIA. It's not as flawless as people think. They do some stupid things. Anyway, so I chalked it off to that. So resubmitted the report. This time I hand carried it over to CIA headquarters to the desk of that executive aide of the division chief, handed it to her, and she bristled when she saw me, handed it to, which is not, you know, CIA is full of narcissists, so, you know, chalked it up to that. But she bristled when she saw me. I handed it with a buck slip, which is a tracking slip, personally over her desk, and I said, ma'am, you may want to show the division chief this. I hope I'm wrong, but if I'm not, this is serious. Well, okay, Mr. Ship, I'll see that he gets it. Thank you very much. Pretty clear the meeting was over. So I left. A week went by. I contacted her office again and I said, ma'am, did the division chief get a chance to look at my memo? What memo? She says. I said, pardon me, madam, but the memo that I gave you personally over your desk when I looked you right in the eye. I don't remember any memo. And I said, okay, well, I'll maybe submit this to you again. I hung up the phone and thought, well, there's some serious butt covering going on here at the very least. Then I got a call on the secure line. Pick it up. It's the division chief. In an ominous tone, Kevin Ship. Yes, this is so-and-so, division chief of such-and-such. Yes, sir. I am ordering you right now to drop this investigation. I said, sir, I mean, this could involve the lives of our officers and agents overseas. I'm ordering you to drop this investigation or it is going to affect your career. Click. And he hangs up. So I get my first threat. I don't threaten well. I mean, that just motivates me, you know? So I went into the CIA server in headquarters, and I had full access to all of this because of my clearances. I went into the CIA server where I had stored it, and it had been erased and removed from the CIA server. So I knew there was a cover-up going on. So, you know, as a person of faith, I prayed about it. What is going on here? And I get a call, it's probably a month later. My immediate chief supervisor, a fellow named Jack Goodman, was at a senior meeting with senior CIA people who are at GS-15 and above, and they have these conferences. He was there. He sat next to another retired officer who had the Intelligence Star, an old God and country patriot. And he said, look, I got this employee under me named Kevin who's done this study, and he mentioned it to him, and this person was now with Department of State senior investigation staff. Jim, the fellow's name was, Jim said, send it to us. I want to see it. So Jack came back and said, Kev, Jim so-and-so over at Top State wants you to send you his report. I was like, gladly. So I sent it over there. I got a call 2 days later on the secure line. Kevin, yeah, this is Jim so-and-so. I knew exactly who he was because I knew his background and reputation. Very well thought of. Did a heroic act overseas, risked his own life. Obviously, can't get into details, but he's one of the good guys. Anyway, he goes, Jim goes, hey, Kev, we looked at your report and we're real concerned. We think that you may have something there. Would you come over to state? So I went over state, met with he and the two other senior state IG guys. And they said, we think you got something here. Go on back to the CI and we'll contact you. So I went back. I got another secure call on the line from Jim. And Jim says, okay, Kev, we're taking this seriously. We're going to go out secretly and we're going to do an investigation in our embassies worldwide. And we're going to see if this can be done. Don't tell the CIA. Keep your head low. Don't talk to anybody about this. And you'll hear from us in about probably 3 months. I was, yes, sir. Thanks for getting this off my back, because I could feel the laser dot on there already. 3 months later, sure enough, the phone rings. It is funny, a little funny segue here. And let me know how much time we have it. So I'm sitting at my desk 3 months later. I'm on the telephone with my brother, who is an agency officer. And we were talking, we were laughing. And he goes, hey, listen, somebody's at my door. I got to talk to him. I'll call you back. So I hang up. 5 minutes later, the phone rings, and I think it's my brother. So I said, answer the phone, and I said, Pizza Hut. And it wasn't my brother. It was Jim. He goes, what? This is Jim. So I'm like, oh, I did a Homer Simpson. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I thought you were my brother. He goes, no, don't worry about that. Okay. He just moved on. He said, listen, we're back. We did our investigation, and we found that it's worse than even you thought. This is serious. They can get into the computer system, and they can identify your agents in detail. We're going to have a meeting with the CIA and Department of State at the end of this week, and we want you there. I said, yes, sir. So I think it was a Friday afternoon. I went over to state for this meeting. The two senior IG guys met me at the door. They're higher level, both real professionals. Jim escorted me back to a big conference room. I walked in there. Sitting at the far end of the table was the senior CIA division chief responsible for this. At the other end of the table, closest to me, were the two IG investigators. And then at the middle of the table across from me was Jim. So I sat there as the Department of State senior officials publicly rebuked this division chief and the CIA for putting the lives of our agents at risk for over 10 years. They advised the CIA that they were going to put together a detailed report and submit it to the entire intelligence community. Thank you very much. This meeting is over. He got up in a huff and left. I remember going back to headquarters, and you could just sense I got a laser dot right on my back. I was since assigned to a secret base within the United States that has done some things that if people knew, they would close it down. But Congress doesn't want to know. Anyway.
But let me interrupt.
Go ahead.
Well, let me interrupt you here, because I think it's important to set some context, which is that, again, you were working in the interest of protecting CIA agents.
That's right.
And officers, both overseas and domestic. And also, when you say that it was proven to be possible for malicious actors to hack into the system and to acquire this information, even though you didn't say it, I think our audience understands that means that it was most definitely hacked by malicious foreign operators. Would that be a safe assumption?
That would be an absolutely safe assumption, because these foreign intelligence agents from China and Russia especially are very good. As a matter of fact, this one was easy, Mike. They're very good at doing that, and you can almost count on the fact that they did. And the question I get all, why would the CIA threaten you and cover this up like that? You know, that's the outstanding question. Why would they do this? You know, I can't answer that. No one can, except they wanted it there for some reason. It was one of the strangest things. That's when I begin to see the shadow government. And I make a difference between the shadow government and a deep state. But that's when I begin to see the shadow government operating at high levels, literally against our own national security.
Well, there were events that took place during the Obama administration, and you're not the one saying this. I'll say this, but it's clear to me that Obama, for example, allowed Iran to capture one of our drones, complete with military decryption equipment for satellite communications and so on. I mean, there have been elements within the United States that have been deliberately compromising our security and our intelligence services for, would you say, decades?
Decades. Well, since the 2 years into the creation of the CIA. The CIA began doing that. It's been, and even Truman came out publicly and said he regretted even forming the CIA because it had gone rogue within 2 years. It's been rogue ever since.
So how much power do, you know, there are white hat factions inside the CIA that you spoke about earlier. I think you estimated perhaps 80% are, you know, patriotic, law-abiding Americans. And then there are black hat factions that maybe they're traitors, maybe they've been bribed, they're working for Communist China, for all we know, right?
Communist China, probably not, because the reinvestigation and counterintelligence polygraph system that I did, we caught a lot of Chinese, frankly. And, you know, I'm a supporter of Israel, but we caught Israel trying to get in. You know, Israel will will support and protect Israel no matter what. As a matter of fact, they commit espionage against us all the time. It's called the Mossad complex, where they'll go down before they'll let Israel ever be compromised again. So they try to attack us all the time. That's just a fact. I'm a supporter of Israel, as you know. Anyway, no, I don't think it would be Chinese agents. Mike, these are our own people in the higher echelons of the CIA that are doing this. These are Americans.
Where does their loyalty lie? You know, who do they answer to?
They answer to the CIA. Now, you have to understand, the CIA is kind of like a really complex cult where you sign a secrecy agreement. And it's like, I liken it to a kind of a secret castle. You go into it, you get a certain clearance, you swear an oath, you go into a chamber. And then if you prove yourself loyal to the organization, then you'll get a higher clearance and you'll go into another inner chamber and get what's called an SCI, Sensitive Compartmented Information Clearance, of which there are several different types. I had several. So then you get another SCI clearance and you go into another inner chamber. So these people at the top they have access to all the inner chambers. The rest of the CIA population has no idea what the upper management of CIA is doing. As a matter of fact, the CIA publishes disinformation. It's called eyewash. They publish disinformation to their own employees, the CIA employees. They'll publish two memos released to CIA employees. One is fake and one is real, to disinform their own population. This is the 20% I'm talking about that have these people are members of the shadow government. They despise Congress. I've heard it out of their own mouths. Remember, I was on the seventh floor. They will defend and protect the CIA at all costs. They manipulate Congress. They have a weaponized system of intelligence that is so complex and deep, the intelligence committees will never get through it, not that they want to. And they have gone rogue. The CIA is now an unconstitutional organization at its head, and it engages in criminal activity, and it covers it up by the use of the power of secrecy, which I talk about in my book.
Okay. You said a lot there and raised a lot of questions, but let me bridge this question right up front, because some of our listeners who, again, a lot of them, this is the first time that they're hearing from you, you know, via this channel. Oh, and by the way, let me mention your Patreon channel. There you have the Ship Intelligence Report, which is special insider analysis information that you don't make public. So I want to encourage people to support you on Patreon as well. And what, if they do just like a monthly pledge, they get access to that?
Yeah, it's patreon.com/Kevin_ship with two P's. And there are several different tiers. The primary for the Ship Intelligence Report, it's a membership of $5 a month. And then there are upper levels, one for preppers and off the gridders. And the highest one are the advanced courses where I teach surveillance detection and other things I taught when I was in the CIA, all unclassified, but I brought it out and I've adapted it for release. So I've got several different tiers. As you know, when I came out and blew the whistle on the CIA, I sacrificed my pension. So I depend on the Patreon channel and donations and other things. And people, let me tell you, Mike, people have been a real blessing. Plus, I get the most wonderful letters and prayers and support. It keeps me going. So anyway, Patreon's kind of the guts of what I do.
Well, I always urge you, you know, have a backup plan in case Patreon blacklists you or Twitter or what have you. Make sure you're strong. I mean, I don't have to tell you this, but
you're right.
Make sure you're strong on Parler and make sure you're strong on Brighteon and other channels as well. But let me ask you.
Let me interject. Yeah, thank you, Mike, because I don't mean to interrupt you. That's a good point, because it's very possible. I mean, they've already blocked at least one person that I know of Patreon. I have an account on Subscribestar, which so far is user-friendly. But the reason that we have created, and we have our last meeting, I think, Monday, the reason we created kevinship.com is in the event that that happens, and it probably will, where all of those platforms, I am blocked from all of those. Then all my videos and everything will go on kevinship.com, which we have set up with a developer that is untouchable and has firewalls and blocked with a lot of security. So that's a great point.
Well, and I'll share this with you because I think you're one of the few people who could appreciate this, but we consider Brighteon to be an important long-term archive of videos that the shadow government, you know, the dark elements of our society will try to eliminate from society. I am actually making backups of key channels onto long-term optical cartridges, the Sony optical with, you know, 100 plus year shelf life, and hiding them in various locations, and also burning to tape. And tape, as you may know, has also very long-term storage. It's a lot less expensive to store, and as the optical can get, it can get flooded. You can have mud and water on it. As long as you can clean that optical disc, you still have data. So I'm archiving a lot of this.
That's beautiful.
Yes. I want to ask you shortly about the situation in Houston with the Chinese embassy and their report of burning documents. But first, if you don't mind, this is not any kind of attack, but let me just address or ask you to address the possible criticism from an end user to say, I guess the number one thing would be, well, why are you still alive, right? That's what they would say. How can you be allowed to say these things if the CIA is really so dangerous? What's your answer to that?
Good question. Well, I have a dead man switch, for starters. And the CIA knows that I know as much as Snowden did, and they know it. They also, I think, know that I'm not going to release any of that. I'm not going to do what Snowden did. I target my exposés in such a way that it keeps me free. But that's the main reason. But over and above that, they know that everything that they do to me and everything that happens to me, I immediately go public with. I went public with the break-ins. I went public with the poisonings. ForTheLoveOfFreedom.net, my former website, now directed to kevinship.com. If you go on the upper ribbon, you'll see the CIA invoked the state secrets privilege on me because I had all the evidence of my family's poisoning and told not just me, but my wife and kids, if we said anything to anybody, including our attorneys, we would be faced with prison. Wow. Well, I answer to a higher authority, especially I don't answer to unconstitutional criminal actions. So I came out and I published all the documents they tried to suppress they're now on kevinship.com in the top blue ribbon. It's a little blue ribbon. They can click and they can see all the documents that the CIA tried to cover up. So going public keeps me safe.
Right,
the
right.
Dead man switch, where I know the family jewels, they do anything to me or my family, and that stuff pours out like water. And also in my book, From the Company of Shadows, they blacked out all the evidence of my family's poisoning. And so I built it. This is kind of funny. I built a code into From the Company of Shadows, submitted it through the CIA censors, and they missed the code. Then I formed my own publishing company because publishers are compromised. I published my own publishing company, Ascent Publishing, and published From the Company of Shadows with the code in the book that made it through the CIA censors. And you decode the code and it reveals what they blacked out. Now, they can't do a thing about that because what they blacked out is criminal. And the fact that they blacked out unclassified information based on an executive order is illegal. So anyway, we got kind of a checkmate going that keeps me alive. I'm not afraid of dying. I never have been. And they didn't quite know how to handle that. They don't understand how to handle, like the Soviet Union, a communism. They don't know how to handle, I'm not saying they're communists, but in terms of the mindset, they don't know how to handle people of faith because we're not afraid. We're not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of dying. I answer to a higher authority all the time, and they didn't know how to handle that. I'm well known within the CIA, and I even have a kind of a following in there. I hear somebody, and I have a following in the FBI too. Here's somebody that didn't let them scare them into silence, and it's because of my faith, and that's what gives me courage.
Well, right, and you know your soul is bulletproof. It turns out so.
Yeah, that's like, right. Yeah,
I mean. All of us are going to die, and what matters is what right you have earned with God after this life. What do you take with you? And it's your actions, your ethics, your morality.
That's right. And you know, and I don't want to sound macabre, but frankly, if they were to take me out quick, they just send me home. I don't like it down here on this planet anyway. So, you know, I really don't care. You know, and it's yeah. And I'm absolutely convinced. I know that the kingdom of heaven is real. Absolutely convinced. And so they don't know how to deal with that. I can't be scared. They could kill me. That just makes things worse for them. So, and that includes my followers. They don't mess with my followers, nor should they. Or there's no real, you know, they just leave me. There was a time where they were following my wife and I, Sue. We were compromised on the internet. We were hit badly with an EMF attack that made us both sick, and we got the doctor's records of that. There was a time, but it is all stopped. And so I think they finally got it that, look, we got an agreement here. You don't mess with me. I don't release the rest of the stuff. And we all just move on. And I continue my exposés, which are unclassified. And so we have kind of a peculiar agreement.
Yeah, kind of a checkmate that you've set up there.
Exactly what it is. And that's how I planned it. By the grace of God, I planned it just that way.
Well, if you hadn't been intelligent enough and had the foresight to do that, you would be dead by now.
I'd be dead.
Yes. Then let me ask you this. You know, I'm a lab scientist. I run a lab with multiple mass spec instruments, and I'm very curious about the method of poisoning. I think in a previous interview, you said that something was, a toxin was painted on the ceiling of the house. What was this, a radiological or a chemical or a hormonal poison, or is it, can you not speak about that, or what can you tell us?
That's a great question, Mike. We all were sick, and my wife was bleeding from her gums. She had bruising all over her body. It looks like somebody took a baton to her. She got migraines so bad she was in bed on what's that strong drug they put you on? I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, she lost her short-term memory, and my son's immune system was terminal. I mean, that's how bad we were being poisoned badly by something. My kids were bleeding from their noses, and so. That's when I started collecting my evidence, and when they sent it to the CIA, and they obviously destroyed it. However, so when finally I got them to let us evacuate from the house, and we evacuated to a hotel, I trapped the house because I knew, you know, what they were going to do. Some of the oldest tricks in the book is kind of funny, but I trapped the house, and I'll tell you how I did it. I put tape seals on the doors and windows, oldest trick in the book. But I got an old Radio Shack voice-activated tape recorder, put it in the silverware holder on top of the fridge, and then got a motion-activated motion sensor that emitted a siren. You know, no sophisticated spy stuff. But like I said, you know, they're so arrogant, they can be stupid. Anyway, so I come back late one night, and the guards who are on my side, and I got affidavits from some of them. Those are some of the things the CIA sealed. Anyway, they're like, good evening, Mr. Ship. Come on in. Went into the house. All five tape seals on the sliding glass door were broken. The ones on the front door was broken. I activated the Radio Shack tape recorder. I heard someone entering the house. The motion detector siren went off, and then it was cut, turned off. I could hear a bunch of rustling. So they knew how to turn that thing off immediately, and that's no surprise. So I come back with my attorney. We finally get the CIA to do a so-called environmental test after they refused five times. I told them, you do this or I'm coming out. So they sent this so-called dark CIA team out there to do an environmental test. Now, you know that's not going to go well. Anyway, so I got a great attorney. Clint is his first name. He's a hero. I hope he gets the recognition he deserves. They beat him up so bad. He's still tough. He's still a tough patriot, but he's retired. And he wants kind of a peaceful life. So Clint is his name. The man's a hero. I love him dearly. So Clint and I went in there, and Clint was brilliant, had them up against the wall. And he and I went back into the area where we suspected that the poison was. And they didn't know this, but I had a UV light, black light, regular black light, UV radiation. You probably know better than I, being a spec spectrometer, if I'm pronouncing correctly. Anyway, so I pull out my black light, Clint and I go back in there, and I hit the ceiling, and we found poison on the ceiling before, mycotoxins. We never got samples to the lab. We didn't have time, but we just assumed that it was mycotoxins, which was yellow rain in the Gulf War. It's both a bioweapon, and it's emitted by some bad black molds, aspergillus, one of them. Anyway, so okay, so we went back, the CIA representatives, we're out in the living room. We went back there, hit the ceiling with the UV light, and there were big brush strokes of an invisible chemical on the ceiling that you couldn't see with the naked eye, but they showed up with my UV light. Uh-oh, we had them. And so go ahead.
Well, just to add to that, people might be saying, what do you mean that a UV light works? Yeah, it's no joke. Even in liquid chromatography, usually in the science labs, we use a UV detector. And many molecules will fluoresce, giving off certain specific wavelengths when they're struck with UV light. So what you're describing actually is very consistent. Now, if they were spreading mold spores that produce toxic chemicals, then that would be a self-sustaining thing. It could cause chronic long-term exposure to those toxins as the mold continued to live on your ceiling.
Yeah, but that black mold is very, very dangerous, a very dangerous neurotoxin. And the odd thing is initially there was black mold all through the house, which they refused to test. There's no question about that. I had the samples, and that's one of the things that they blacked out. However, I did some secret tests of my own. Even flew my son up to into the Midwest without them knowing it. Had some tests done both on the mold samples and on my son's immune system, and we ruled out black mold, although it can produce that. So it was something else. Well, we found a mustard gas shell percolated up through the ground in our house, and then the guards began to confide in me. One had found a, and I'll just say this publicly. One had, they claimed that mustard gas, as well as some other bioweapons, frankly, were buried on that base. There's a lot of things, a couple of things I've revealed on fortheloveoffreedom.net, now up on the top bar in kevinship.com. They had buried some things there, including the pistols used in the Phoenix program, which is an assassination program, and a lot of other things I can never talk about. But there was a mustard gas buried there that they claimed had been cleaned up. Well, we found a fragment of a shell in our house, and one of the guards confided in me that he found a pile of mustard gas ampules that had never been touched. So,
well, that's crazy.
We were ordered out of the house and off the base and back to Washington for surveillance. So I never got the chance to test. Well, let me back up a little bit. The CIA came in and did a test, so-called environmental test, and then they sent a cable to headquarters saying there was nothing wrong, and with a, which was, of course, was a lie. But there's so much here, I'll try to encapsulate as best I can. But anyway, when they came out, these mysterious people in a black limousine that's got there the night before, when these environmental folks came to do their test, they sat down at the table for an interview, and I had my notes there, and I had a tape recorder. And he goes, "Okay, Mr. Ship, let's talk about your family's sickness." And I said, "Okay, do you mind if we tape this interview?" And the CIA representative's response was, "I don't do tape interviews." And he got up, closed his book, and left. Well, I had access to the cable traffic. And they had deleted another one of my reports from the cable system, which is criminal. Anyway, so I went and read his cable report going back to headquarters. I interviewed the ships interviewed the ships and recorded the ship's interview. And there was no noteworthy information when he closed his book and walked out. And we found just a lie back to headquarters. I went up to the headquarters cable office, down into the cable office itself, and found that my cables had been removed from the headquarters internal cable system. And the cable officer was like, "I've never seen anything like this in my life." But that, anyway, not to digress. So there was a toxin in the house. I suspect it was mustard gas.
Well, I'll tell you, I would imagine the CIA has its own in-house mass spec lab that they were using for that. And I've seen so much fraud in the realm of science, both in police labs as well as government labs. They're the worst run labs in the world, but they can deliberately retune instruments to have no sensitivity. So they can run your sample and they can claim they ran it, and then they can produce a report that says not detected. And I've seen this over and over and over again. I mean, literally sometimes an ion stream, if you can adjust the axis, the angle of axis as it's going into the sample cone, if you change that axis by 3 degrees, you'll have zero sensitivity. So
beautiful point.
If they don't want to find poisons in your house, they won't find poisons in your house.
Beautiful point. My undergraduate degree is in biology. So I agree with you 100%. And obviously they're going to do that. You can count on it. That's where the fun began anyway. And since my family literally almost died, it became obvious to me how darkly corrupt the CIA was. And then when I filed suit, of course, I was bugged, followed, hacked. My computer was hacked into, my phone was hacked into, and I was trapping them the whole time because I was them. And then by the grace of God, I was always two steps ahead of them because I knew how the system worked. Right. So finally, after all the intrusions, I resigned, and Clinton and I went after them full bore with a full bore personal injury lawsuit. And things then just got more intense. So I realized this is what they'll do. I was a senior officer. I was a Category 1 employee, which is the highest category you can reach. I saw what they'll do to their own if they start to reveal the family jewels. And after a whole lot of prayer and even some counsel with a pastor, I didn't tell them the details, but, you know, what do you think I should do? I resigned and came out full bore and decided I'm going to expose the shadow government, which, as you know, I've been doing ever since that day.
You have indeed. And again, I thank you for your courage in speaking out and just highlighting this. And it's very clear that your intent is not in any way to bring harm to anyone in the organization, but rather to see the organization reformed to where it has more transparency, more integrity, and is actually working for America's interests.
Exactly. You know, collecting intelligence and providing real-time intelligence to the president is essential. I mean, that's what Truman wanted in the beginning. That's not what he got, but that's what he wanted in the beginning. We need an intelligence agency that is transparent, that is constitutional, and reports intelligence to the president gathered in the field. We need that because there are enemies out there in countries that want to destroy our way of life. So we need an intelligence agency and that's critical to our survival as a democracy or as a democratic country. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, and also, you know, it's worth noting that the victories of the intelligence agencies are never reported in the New York Times. The victories, and the world is a very, very dangerous place. You know more than most. You know, China's dangerous, Russia's dangerous, Iran is dangerous, North Korea. I mean, there are many rogue nations that absolutely seek to destroy us. And if not for at least the white hat elements inside the intelligence community, those attacks would have already succeeded by now. We would be gone.
That's very true.
Let me ask you about the FBI. And, you know, if I get into anything too sensitive, of course, you know, you're welcome to answer in whatever way that you feel comfortable. But
sure.
I think many Americans, after the Russia collusion hoax and the James Comey treason, I'll call it, and Christopher Wray, even right now, seems to be a swamp creature, sorry to say. Can anybody trust the FBI, or is that just as bad as the black hat elements of other organizations?
No, they cannot be trusted. FBI management, and I have been dealt with the FBI through my entire career. I was co-located with the FBI in a counter-espionage group in CIA headquarters. I grew to know FBI leadership. No, they cannot be trusted, and we can never trust them until that level of the FBI is cleaned out and restaffed with patriots. The FBI has been corrupt since its inception at the highest levels. Now, granted, I work with FBI agents, man, some of the best people. As a matter of fact, I had a female FBI agent out on the secret base doing the investigation, and we actually found information the CIA was covering up. She was awesome. She had my back anytime. One of the finest agents I've ever met. Matter of fact, the last thing she said to me when she found out that I had filed suit was, well, I guess they messed with the wrong man this time. So they're awesome FBI agents out there, and I know personally they are livid about what FBI, and not only that, Mike, they've been livid about what FBI management has been doing going all the way back since I started working with them. FBI management is corrupt to the core. It's a corrupt culture. It has been for decades and decades. It needs to be cleaned out. They need to fumigate the upper offices, and they need to staff them with patriots who actually do report to the Constitution and the president and the attorney general, being a patriotic attorney general. So no, you can't trust the FBI. And let me tell you this, the FBI, and I've been on this for several years, what the FBI does, in my view, it's criminal, is, and they've been doing this for years, if they can't find evidence on you, then what they're going to do is trap you and get you to make a statement. Then they're going to go back and comb through all your emails, all your letters, all your conversations, and find a contradiction to what you told them. Then they're going to hit you with a process crime like they did with my friend Jerome Corsi, Dr. Corsi, like they did with Roger Stone. Right. They're going to hit you with a process crime, a felony, lying to the FBI and threatening you with prison for up to 10 years. Outrageous.
Yeah, they're going to alter their 302s if necessary to get that done, too. Yes,
and they'll do it. And they'll do it, Mike.
Yeah, no. What you're talking about is confirmed through many sources. You know, I've talked to Roger Stone about the very same thing. Well, so let me ask you this then. Like you, I've got sources in the intelligence community as well that speak to me about some things that are going on. And one of the things that stands out the most recently is I was told that China has successfully hacked FBI records, CIA records, NSA records, and also Mossad and MI5 and so on, and China has obtained blackmail material that those intelligence agencies typically held over the heads of other people that they were controlling. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they have. Well, at the very least, you know, and the press will cover this up. And I want everybody to remember that the Washington Post and the New York Times have been CIA Mockingbird papers going all the way back to the 1950s. The New York Times and the CIA and the Washington Post have been communicating back and forth, and they still are. Operation or Project Mockingbird is alive and well. Just look, and I'm not digressing here, but just look at CNN and James Clapper and MSNBC and John Brennan, who both were their senior analysts when they had CIA clearances. So Project Mockingbird is alive and well. So we can't trust, we cannot trust those sources. And that's still happening today. So yes, what China did, and that's why we're not hearing about it, is China hacked into and got 4 million SF-171 applications for intelligence positions and other positions requiring clearances, got all of those SF-171s. Now, an SF-171 is an extensive piece of paperwork where you list your entire life, your vulnerabilities, your strengths, your criminal record. Everything is in your SF-171 before they start, in the case of the CIA, a very deep background investigation. China got all of that. 4 million records. Now, the Chinese embassies, Chinese diplomats and businessmen are all Chinese espionage agents. There is not one Chinese official or corporate CEO in this country that is not an espionage agent. I knew that in the counter-espionage group. We knew it in the CIA for decades. And so they've got us by the ankles, to use a term loosely. Yeah, they do.
Well, one of the things that I was told in addition to that was that the discovery of this is one of the reasons why Western intelligence services have, at least this is what I was told, have agreed that they have to wage war against China, you know, behind the scenes, and that this is exactly what's going on right now. You know, a currency war, a regulatory and trade war, but also a personnel war. You've seen Trump kicking Chinese nationals out of the country. And then, this is what I wanted to ask you about, just the other day, Chinese embassy in Houston burning documents out in the courtyard. I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going on, but aren't these the kinds of activities that happen before nations go to war?
Yes. My concern, Mike, we've been in a serious espionage war with China for a long time, as I mentioned. But what is happening now, you're exactly right, is we're seeing an escalation outside of the dark war, the intelligence war, the espionage war, because they have been outed, both their espionage activities, both in our industry, in our academia. They've arrested, as you know, professors of high universities that were connected to Chinese espionage. They penetrated our business. CEOs of our own companies are Chinese recruited agents. So that's all out in the open. And then Donald Trump, for the first time of any president in history, and that includes Ronald Reagan, and I was a fan of Ronald Reagan, has stood up to China, finally, as stealing from us in the terms of billions of dollars a year, and we've let it happen. So Trump stands up against China for the first time, and China is now in jeopardy of losing it. It was approaching to be the number one world economy and the number one government. Trump has put the kibosh on that, has hurt their economy badly. They've been exposed in espionage, and now you can see China is escalating in the South China Sea. Threats against Taiwan. A Chinese defense official just came out and said, if the U.S. keeps it up, we're going to ram one of the U.S.'s vessels in the South China Sea. This will escalate, Mike. Yes. China is going to escalate, and it's beginning to be at the brink of a proxy war where China will attack U.S. interests through proxies. And then, in my humble opinion, it's going to come out into an outright conflict escalated by China. With the potential, if we're not careful, of leading to a military confrontation.
Well, we saw just the other day a Republican member of Congress suggesting that we pass a new law that would require America to declare war against China if China were to invade Taiwan. You know, think about it, with China attacking Hong Kong and really betraying its promise to the people of Hong Kong, and then China, I believe, engineering this coronavirus. At least we know that they withheld information about it from the world that could have been used to save lives. I think China's credibility on the world stage has suffered severe blows, and that if there were ever a time to strike China and take down that evil communist regime, that this is the time to do it, and Trump is the man to get it done, it seems.
Well, he is. We need to, you know, absolutely. We need to stand up to them. Congressman Yohu, who passed that resolution to I speak with him regularly. The last time at the Benghazi conference in Jacksonville, Florida. He's a good man. He's a real good patriot. And I agree with him. Yes, we need to stand up against China. Now, they have nuclear weapons, and they're an atheist government that doesn't mind killing their own people, as we've seen with the coronavirus.
That's right.
They don't mind killing a lot of people. They will defend the CCP at all costs. So it's going to escalate, but then we're going to get to a nuclear standoff, in my opinion. It's going to get to a nuclear standoff, and then the question is, will China do it or not? That's how serious this is.
Well, we've also interviewed other guests who spoke about, for example, a former Chinese CCP General Hao Tian, who promised that China would destroy America, the American people, but not destroy the land. And he spoke about why they didn't want to use nuclear weapons, because they wanted, of course, the resources, the water, the soil, the farmland, all of that, but they wanted to kill the people, and that they would develop biological weapons in order to get that done. So if you think about China's ultimate aim, which is global domination, global economic growth, and the occupation of North America with full-blooded Chinese, then they would not want to use nuclear weapons in that case. But maybe they get backed into a corner where they feel like they have no choice.
Well, that's a great point, Mike. Now, they have a couple of options. One is a neutron bomb, which kills anything biological. But then again, you're talking wildlife and other things. And then they have an EMP attack, which is a concern of many of us. If they knock out our infrastructure, which is really weak, and my wife and I, as many of your audience, we're off the grid with our own power system, not connected to anything. They do a couple of successful EMPs. They send us into the Stone Age in a matter of hours. That, right. I think, is the threat. So, I think if they're going to move, it could be a neutron bomb. Probably not, because it'll kill anything organic. An EMP attack, however, and they have the capability, and there's satellite weapons up there already, thanks to Bill Clinton, who gave our satellite technology to communist China. They have satellite weapons up there already, and they have the ability to hit with a very sophisticated EMP attack on this country. That's what that should keep us up at night.
I was going to ask you that exact question. They can have high yield nuclear warheads in orbit, firing thrusters and slowing the orbital velocity. Those satellites can drop out of orbit, drop into essentially high altitude over a specific geological target, and then they can detonate. And that would send an EMP wave across North America, take down the power grid, take down, you know, everything, 911 services, the internet, you name it, cars, you know, and you're right. They blast us back to the Stone Age.
Yeah, and that's what we need to worry about. And you're exactly right. And we know that satellites, Chinese satellites and Russian satellites, Chinese are more sophisticated than Russia, and they're more sophisticated than we are, because they've been building this stuff up for a long, long time since they tried to stop President Reagan's authentic SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative. Since then, China's been building up in space. But we know that about satellites. Now, I can tell you this. There are things satellites can do that would blow people's minds, the capability they have, not just China's, but ours. China has that capability. It's sophisticated. They could drop down and detonate several nuclear explosives in the atmosphere and shut our grid system nationwide down in a matter of an hour, couple hours.
Well, let me ask you, do you believe that the United States has kinetic satellite weapons? I think it was called the Hammer of Thor, where they would use, for example, tungsten rods, high-density tungsten rods, simply kinetic. They drop onto specific targets with, energy is 1/2 mass times velocity squared. And that velocity gets squared pretty quickly in a free fall. And it can devastate targets without leaving any kind of a nuclear signature. Do you think the United States has such weapons?
Yes.
Well, that answers a lot right there. So what about the Three Gorges Dam question then? What about, do you believe in the existence of weather weapons? I've heard that theory. I don't have any proof for that. But
another great point, Mike. There has been geoengineering weapons warfare for decades. China is using it right now. We've used it in the past. And it's important to make the distinction between chemtrails and geoengineering. Now, I'm not a member of the chemtrail community. Let me just say that. But I'm not, I don't cast aspersion on anybody who is. But we are seeing geoengineering in the upper atmospheres.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the telling thing is John Brennan, director of the CIA, before the Council on Foreign Relations. And if that's still up, people can find that video. John Brennan, before the Council on Foreign Relations, came out and stated his personal interest. Now, this is the director of the CIA, his personal interest in geoengineering and strategic aerosol injection, or SAI, using certain substances that particulate in the atmosphere, nanoparticles. What does that tell you? Now, coming from the CIA, if the director of the CIA says that, they're already doing it. So that's telling right there.
Yes. Well, I remember that speech, and I apologize for being my geeky editing mind, but I believe he said stratospheric aerosol injection, which is—
You're right, I'm sorry, yeah, my bad.
Releasing into the stratosphere. So, yeah, I'm sorry, I apologize for my geekiness there, but—
No worries, it's been years. No, thank you for the correction, you're right, it's right on.
Well, what struck me about that is that you can't do— normal airplanes cannot reach the stratosphere. They must be altered and engineered for high altitude, you know, low air density flight. So that means that there would have to have been a long-term, very deliberate effort to re-engineer certain types of aircraft and to launch them and with a payload that could be carried aloft at that altitude and then released in order to dim the sunlight and block, you know, block sunlight from reaching the Earth.
And you remember a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I tweeted this out, did a program, geez, it's been 5 years ago now. The head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff came out and said that he considered climate change and global warming to be the number one national security issue. Now, when he said that, that means that the United States was now putting its full weight behind global warming. And we know that there is at least $2 trillion missing from the defense budget that they're trying to find. I don't know if you probably are aware of that.
They haven't given any to me. It's not in my pockets. Like, I'll tell you that.
Man, just give me 100,000% of that. They could wipe out, you know, all the bankruptcies in the United States with a blink of an eye. But there is $2 trillion. You know, we have a $22 trillion national deficit and climbing. Forgive me, I've been working out of the farm, it's been a long day. There's another $22 trillion in defense spending that they can't account for. When I started reporting on that, 3 years ago, other really good people have done so also. Now, your audience, you may be aware of this, James Clapper moved that missing $22 trillion over under the national security budget, where it is now classified secret and can't be accessed by Congress. Welcome to the shadow government. So my point is that money's going somewhere. And in my opinion, this is just my opinion, it's going to the to geoengineering and the SAI program, which has been in process since the Joint Chiefs made that statement, if not before.
Yeah, well, with that kind of money, and I don't mean to bring in other conspiracies, but just as a flippant comment, with that kind of money, you could build bases on the dark side of the moon. Okay.
Yeah. you could build a bridge from the Earth to the moon. You know, $22 trillion. If you go back and you Google what $22 trillion is, I think it'll reach to the moon and back like a few times. People can go and check. I mean, it's a mind-boggling amount of money, and what you can do with $22 trillion is unbelievable.
It really is. I've got maybe one more big section to ask you about, if that's okay. We're coming up on sort of approaching the end of the hour, although it's not a hard break, but I want to be respectful of your time. This has been a truly fascinating conversation already. Let me just remind our viewers to go to your website, kevinshipp.com. That's S-H-I-P-P. And also consider supporting your Patreon channel, which is what, Kevin_Ship?
Yeah, it's patreon.com/Kevin_Ship, right.
Okay, good, I got that right. So let me ask you this. President Trump signed an executive order on July 14th, which was directed to, China's abuse of human rights in Hong Kong. However, if you look at the language that's in this executive order, it's really shocking, because it seems to me, at least in my interpretation, that Trump is saying that the United States government can seize corporations, assets, or land that is owned by individuals who are aiding and abetting China. Now, in my mind, immediately, I thought Google, Facebook,
Twitter.
I mean, it seems like those companies are working for China every single day. I mean, how come I'm banned on Twitter, but China has the Global Times newspaper using Twitter? So do you think, is Trump maybe setting up a play here to negotiate with big tech?
I do. And it's kind of on the heels of the human trafficking executive order that Trump put out. The same, where what that EO did was allow the U.S. government to go after the companies that are supporting human trafficking. In this case, I agree with you, it allows the federal government to go after the companies and other things that are supporting communist China and allows them to shut them down. I mean, Trump may be out of the ordinary in terms of his personality, but he's a strategist. He's a brilliant strategist. And I think that's exactly what he's doing. President Trump is taking the most aggressive action against China's attempt at world domination of any president in our history. People need to understand that. I don't care what you think about Donald Trump, what anybody out there thinks about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is confronting the Chinese Communist Party in their attempt at global takeover, which they have in their own platform and their own statements. Donald Trump is standing up against that, and his last executive order is another move to stop communist influence in business, corporations, and industry in the United States. People need to understand how serious the Chinese Communist Party threat is to our country. I've known about it since I was in the counter-espionage group. It has gotten tenfold worse since then. Now we're heading for a military conflict and perhaps something atmospheric. Please, everybody, regardless of what you think about Donald Trump, support him. We have got to win this next election, because if we don't, we're going to see the degradation, perhaps the end of America as we know it, and we're going to see the CCP government out of China begin again to dominate this country.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. President Trump has shown with these recent actions that he's willing to fight for America and to really go after America's enemies. And communism is the big enemy. I mean, no matter what you think about big pharma, vaccines, masks, GMOs, all of that pales in comparison to what communists would do to this country. They would murder you and your family. You know, they would overrun this country if they get a chance. And also, by the way, because we've covered this, you know, China has a satellite-based technology now where they claim they can detect the location of U.S. submarines even when they are at depth in the oceans. Now, if that's true, that is a strategic tactical advantage that nullifies the nuclear subs that are the deterrent.
And yeah, I agree. And I think they do. I think they know it. That's why they're escalating. I think that they are convinced that they could stop a U.S. counterattack. It's gravely serious.
And I'll throw this in. If we don't stop China now, they are, of course, constructing an aircraft carrier factory where they will be able to churn out aircraft carriers at, I think, one a year or so, which in a decade, then they dominate the seas and they have more aircraft carriers than the United States.
Yes, and we cannot cry peace to China. China does not want peace. It's the same mistake that Jimmy Carter, who I'm not a fan of, and he was like the abortion president, you know. But Jimmy Carter tried to be nice and sit down with the Russians with SALT II, and we'll cut back our nuclear arsenal by half if you do the same. Russia was like, okay, yes, we'll do it too. So we cut ours in half, and they doubled theirs. It's the same thing with communist China. If we try to cry peace to China, to communist China, we'll do that, and they'll just escalate. Their supreme goal is the elimination of Western government, specifically the United States, and Chinese domination of the globe. They're not going to stop. They will continue to do that. That's their philosophy. They will continue to do that until they either succeed or they're stopped.
Yes, well said. And there's no culture more racist, probably, than the Chinese culture. I mean, they really hate Westerners. And I'm not talking about the Chinese people, and certainly not the people of Taiwan. People of Taiwan are the freedom-loving, you know, democracy people. That's where I lived in Taiwan for 2 years, and I really came to love that country and its people. I'm talking about the communist regime authoritarians. They are racist, they are dangerous, they are malicious, and they want us all dead.
Yeah.
No joke.
They're deadly. Yep.
They are. Well, Kevin Shipp, it's been an honor to be able to talk with you today. I appreciate you taking the time. I want to encourage our viewers to check out your website, kevinshipp.com, and to read the information that they can find there. And, you know, join us again. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk to you again. You're welcome to come on anytime that you want to get a specific piece of information out, and we welcome you on Brighteon.com. You will never be censored there.
Thank you, Mike. Let's do it again. Good to be with you.
All right, you too. Take care. Thanks so much. This video was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now, post your videos today, and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.